Smallest bone ever.
Alright. Let's get rolling, guys. Yeah, like you guys heard the counselor saying, let's make sure that when we're hanging out at these events, we don't have our phones and other electronic devices out. We're here to spend time with one another, you know, just like these guys. You need to be this close, just like Vincent. What's your name again? Christopher and Jared, all right? So, and this too over here.
Wow.
We're like adults.
Very, very good. So, yeah, spend some time getting to talk to each other. You know, you say, well, I don't want to be in so-and-so's face because their breath stinks. All right, we have mints somewhere, don't we, around here? No, Jenny says we don't have mints. Never mind. You guys can stand back-to-back and talk like that, okay? It's just kind of like you're in a confessional or something. So make sure you have a hymnal. We're going to sing a couple songs. We've got two guys that have some devotions prepared for you. I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say. So go ahead and stand on your feet. Grab a hymnal. Stand on your feet. Let's get some songs.
Justin, that was great, by the way. I might have to call.
Anybody else need him? No.
Sierra, you're
Cody. Hey,
you're
Cody. Get out of my room.
Can we sing you
can do whatever you want.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then she can't see it. We're just
going to
need to not share.
It's not worth it.
No, worth it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, it is. All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get rolling here.
All right. Yes, Bryn, we're going to have a word of prayer.
Yes. All right. Here we go. Lord, thank you for the time we get to spend together today. Thanks for this just great get-together, this beautiful day that we have, Lord. And I pray and ask that you would just speak through the kids that have prepared devotions, Lord. Use this song service to get our attention back to you. We just look forward to taking what you give us today and using it to become more like you, Lord, so that we can execute the plan you put us down here for. We love you and thank you and pray and ask it all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, 206. We haven't sung this in a while. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. 206. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. All right, on the first, here we go. Wonderful Grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. And broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. Oh, the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. It's broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches you and me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than a mighty rolling sea. It's higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. And broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name.
All right, 46. Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing. Oh, 4,000. Here we go.
Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His name. Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrow cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of cancelled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean, His blood availed for me. Hear Him, ye deaf, His praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. Glory to God, and praise and love be ever, ever give. By saints below and saints above, the church
of God, back up the ladder, here we go.
Hear Him, ye deaf, His praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. He breaks the power of cancelled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vows clean, His blood avail for me. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrow cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the church
number one, last time.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
All right, number 34, immortal, invisible, God only wise. All right, 34, here we go.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, Thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor waiting. wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains, high soaring above. Thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small. In all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
All right, last one before our first devotion, number 44. And can it be that I should gain? All right, here we go.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, empty himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? No condemnation now I dread. I am my Lord's and he is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Amazing love, how can Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, empty himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless grace.
Amazing love!
Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die
on the first
for
verse, last
me?
Time.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing. amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
All right, Logan, pray for Jarrett, and then Jarrett, come on up.
Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Please give Jared the word to say and have it convict our hearts and make us closer to you. And I just pray for the rest of the time today that we can all have a good time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so it's been a while since I've done a devotional or anything in front of people besides like prayer group or anything. And all week I was trying to decide on what to do because I asked to do it because I haven't done one in so long and it's been eating me. I've been wanting to do one. So I asked Zach to do it and he, of course, said yes. That's why I'm here. And so it was literally keeping me up all night. I didn't know what to write about. But I had an idea, and finally it was like Saturday. It was like Kenzie's birthday. I still didn't have anything done, so I was like, I'm just going to give like a testimony thing, because it's all I could think about doing. So what I'm going to tell you about is a change that I went through, and it wasn't a good change. It was bad. So when I first started going here, I was a bad kid, as you guys already know. I've said this many times. And I kind of turned back into that person that I used to be. Like, oh, it's tough for that person. So I changed. There was at a point in time where I was on fire for the Lord. I love coming to church. I love doing things with the church. I'd even take time to thank God for me being in the church. But then something changed in me, and I really did not know what it was. Maybe the start of the school year, the people I hang out with. But something changed in me, and I did not like it. So I have a couple things to show you guys. All right, so these are some of my notes that I take, and these are from like 7 or 8 months ago, back when I was on fire for the Lord, probably around last camp, when I loved the Lord and I loved doing things and taking notes and studying the Bible. And these are from a couple weeks ago. Something changed in me. I wasn't studying the Bible anymore. I wasn't taking notes. It was going in to this year and coming out this one. Something changed about me, and I do not like it. And it's my fault for being a backsliding Christian and not doing what I'm supposed to do, because I know what I need to do to get right. I need to get in that Bible. I need to pray. I need to talk to the Lord. And one thing I noticed about the change was the people I was hanging out with. The kids at school wasn't a really good group of kids that I should have been hanging out with. They were always peer pressuring me into doing things, or they'd be telling dirty jokes and I'd laugh along. I wasn't acting like a Christian. And Christopher, just 5 minutes ago, told me that his cousin's girlfriend or whatever, I don't even know her, but he's like, said something about her saying that I'm an unlike person at school. Because I am. People don't like me because I'm a jerk. I don't talk to people. I don't get along with people. That's why it took so long for me to come out of my shell and talk to people at school. I have friends. I have a lot of friends, but I'm not showing them that I'm a Christian. I'm not even showing myself that I'm a Christian. Look, I'm drawing. I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and mostly because I wasn't treating the people at church like the family that they are and how they're my resources and how they can help me get back on track. I always have Zach. I always have Aaron. I have all the adults to help me. And I just try to solve the problems by myself. I'm prideful. I never go to God for anything. I never go to anybody for anything. I come to church and Trey gave a devotion like this about having like fake smiles and stuff. That's exactly me. I come to church acting like somebody that I'm not. And I really do hate it. I try to act like I'm happy all the time. I'm not happy. I'm a depressed, destroyed person. My insecurities could eat me alive. I'm not happy. And that's because I've lost touch with God. I've lost touch with everything that made me happy in life, which was God. There was times when I was overly happy. I never down. I was always happy. And then some change happened in me, whether it's the people I was hanging out with or the things I would get into in school. And I just lost all my love and joy for the Lord and coming to church. Like days, they seem gloom. I hate having a fake smile. I hate trying to act happy when I'm not happy. And I know what I need to do, and I'm going to try to do that. And I just thought this would be a good time to reach out to other people. And that's all I have.
Well, good deal. Hey, that's what this is for. You know, I think sometimes when I tell you guys to get up and do a devotion, everyone feels like you have to have it together, and this is your, you know, presentation time to the rest of the world about how great you're doing. But it's really not, and that doesn't help anyone out either. If we want entertainment, we can turn on YouTube and the television. You know, this is all about a support system. This is all about encouraging one another. This is all about coming clean and letting each other know, you know what, hey, I'm struggling with this, and hopefully by me putting this out here, somebody else that's relating to the same things I'm going through can relate to me and come help me with my issues, and we can team up together and get through this thing, because that's what it's all about. What good is a church if you can't rely on your brothers and sisters that you're around? You know, and there's tons of people out there that are saved, that have the Holy Spirit, that have a Bible, but they don't have a local body like this to rely on. I mean, why do you think the guys in Lincoln, you know, love us so much? You know, they have like-minded fellowship now with people that they can grow with, that they can lean on. And that's why God put us together. So good job, Jarrett. There's no shame in any of that stuff. That's where we're all living at. And that's just another type of, you know, while we're together. So really good. All right, stand on your feet. Let's pick it back up. 393. After that devotion, this is a very appropriate song for it. 393. Take my life, Lord, and let it be. All right, here we go.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let it sing, always only for my King, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mine would I withhold, not a mine would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour, at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever for Thee, ever only all for Thee.
347, number 347, tell it to Jesus. Here we go.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that children's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Let me sing verse number 2 again, but before that, two things. Number 1, the Christian life is not about really how clean you can live. You say, well, that are you sure, Zach? Because we talk about being holy and being sanctified and set apart. And that's very true. But don't forget who you are. You weren't clean in the first place. That's why you needed a Savior, okay? Mm-hmm. You were a sinner. God already understood your condition. So it's like going to like a pig and telling him, now, this is how I want you to live. I'm sorry to call you guys pigs. I'm a pig too, you know. The Bible likes us that. But at the end of the day, that's what it is. You're going to something that's dirty, likes to get around in the dirt and rub its nose in it, and that enjoys dirt and filth. You're telling it, now we got to kind of step up our game and live like this. So God understands that you're a pig, that you're a dog, that you're going to get dirty. All right, the Christian life isn't about how many times you fall. It's about after each fall, will you still stick with it and continue to rise back up? Because you know what the Bible says about a just man? It actually doesn't say a just man never falls. It said a just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. You see that? That's how God defines a just man down here on this earth, all right? We know that there's only truly one just man, which is Jesus Christ, only one righteous man, only one good man. All right, so God understands our condition. He understands that man is nothing but a worm. He's going to wallow around in that dirt. He's going to crawl to that dirt. But at the end of the day, a just man is one that says, you know what, I keep failing, but if God gave me breath, I'm going to keep trying for him. Yeah, that's the stuff that God gets impressed by. It's not the fact that you never sin, because nobody can never sin. It's those that sin that never give up on God. They keep coming back to him, that say, I'm not giving up. The second thing I want to tell you guys is, when you do have those relapses, when you have those backslidings, this is something I'm really working on with my own life. When I have those great mountaintop experiences with God, I know when everything's great and my fellowship's great. When I fall away from that, do you know how to identify what took you away from God? Mm-hmm. Can you identify it? And then do you have enough guts and grace to beg God to help you to annihilate those things and destroy them out of your life, to get rid of them so that that didn't happen again? All right, because that's one thing. It's great to come clean and tell God, you know what, I realize, you know, that I've fallen. You're being honest and telling God I've gotten away from you and I want to get back. But what are you going to do to prevent that from happening this next time? Right? That's what it's all about. That's how you keep rising again. You got to identify the things that cause that separation and then go about destroying those things. That's what you're focused on. And then you keep rising up again and again for God. Let's sing verse number 2 again. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Here we go.
Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have your sins that tomb Satan's eyes are hidden. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know others, such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
On that chorus one last time.
Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other, such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
All right, 292. Surely goodness and mercy. Go.
A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me. And now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. All the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. All the days of my life. It soareth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Verse number three, back to the top again, up the ladder.
When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare.
Verse number two.
He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way.
On the first.
So pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me. And now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Good job. Let's sing one more.
321,
let's do it. That nothing between?
Yeah.
All right, nothing between. Might be a little new for you guys. You'll pick it up here. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Here we go on the first.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between.
Amen.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between life worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from Him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like pride or station. Self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between in many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, triumph at last with nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
Nothing between. That's your struggle each day, guys. That's your fight. Let nothing between. All right, let's pray, and then we'll have AJ coming up. Lord, thanks for the time that we got to spend together in song today and what Jarrett shared with us, Lord. And now as we get ready to listen to AJ, Father, I just pray and ask one more time that You would help us to take our attention and our focus, Lord, and to listen to what He's got for us, Lord. And just personally, I thank You for AJ, Lord, and all the time and all the years that we've had together. This is his last youth night with us, Lord. And, you know, what a great story and just what a great time that I've had with him. And, Father, I really do pray that, you know, he won't be like one of those stars that goes strong for you in the beginning and then fades out quick, Lord. But, Lord, I pray that his latter end is greater than his beginning. I pray that this is the only the beginning of what You're going to do with him in his life, Father. And I just look forward to serving with him in the ministry and us getting this fight taken care of and fighting back-to-back until You come back for us, Lord. Well, just look forward to what You've put on his heart, helping to put it across clearly, just giving the power he needs to deliver it. And we look forward to getting something from You, Lord. I love You and thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Go ahead and turn over to Joshua 6. And that's where we're going to be, along with 7 and 8. And before you know, I get the vibes of, oh God, we're just going to listen to AJ read for like 20 minutes. I'm going to kind of paraphrase a whole lot of stuff in here, but first question I do have for you guys is, who all in here, this is a question Zach asked a few weeks ago, But who's in a prayer group? Okay, so pretty much everybody. Maybe a few that are not. But obviously in prayer group right now, we're covering the book of Joshua. And me personally, I've never done this before in prayer group, or honestly with like just like a book that we studied in prayer group. But I'm trying to read all the way through Joshua like a few times in the course of being in prayer group, just so that way at the end of it, not only do I have what I've read, but also what the other guys in my prayer group have talked about and what they've preached on and stuff. So, obviously, like, we're not as far as, you know, chapter 8 in all of our prayer groups right now, but I ended up reading a little bit past that in the past week or two and stuff like that, and I ended up getting a lot of stuff out of it. And honestly, like, I figured out I wanted to do it for this devotion. And the hardest part about that was I knew that's what I wanted to do. But last night, like, I was sitting in my room for, like, 4 hours. I think I told Justin about this morning. Like, I was so frustrated last night because I was like, okay, I have, like, this much time that I got to put 3 chapters worth of material into. So, you know, like, I was stressing out about it. And then for some reason, I don't know if it was just honestly, like, a test for me or if, like, I was hungry. I don't know what it was. But, like, I'm serious. For, like, a period of, like, 45 minutes to an hour, it was just, like, a white piece of paper in my brain. Like, there was nothing going through it. I was reading, and I was, like, I had to stop, like, 4 times. And I got angry. I was, like, Lord, what are you doing? Like, I know this is what I got to do it on, but I don't know, like, what I'm going to do. And I was trying to put it all on paper and stuff like that. So this is probably, like, the hardest, like, amount of material that I had to put together, and it was frustrating, but it was also good to go through just to, you know, keep me diligent and keep me persistent at that thing until I got it down last night. So anyway, now that that's out of the way, another thing I'd like to go ahead and say that Zach also said a few weeks ago in youth group is that what I'm about to talk about, what I'm about to preach on out of these 3 chapters is probably something that the people in your prayer group, whenever they cover one of these chapters, we cover chapter 6 today, and actually Mark, I wanted to call you Sonia for a second. That's not your name. Kaylin and Sierra, their dad, he covered a few things in this chapter that I honestly totally went over my head. And I'm going to steal from him, so don't tell him that. And I'm going to use it today. But the people in your prayer group, whenever they go over some of these chapters, they're going to probably cover something that I didn't cover, or I'm going to cover something that they aren't going to cover. And the point I'm trying to make in here with that is that take advantage of something like that. Don't get this mindset where you're like, well, I've already, AJ talked about chapter 7 in the youth night, so I can just tune out prayer group, like I can sleep in this morning, or, well, I don't really need to listen. Don't do that. Take advantage of something like that. Don't let any of those words fall to the ground and actually pick something up from that, because God has a really funny way of taking what somebody else worked hard to get and giving you a blessing out of it, and you didn't do anything to get it. And that's a pretty wondrous thing that you get in the Bible quite a bit, and it happens quite often to me, not only with Bob and Zach, but just, you know, a simple thing like prayer group. But the thing I'm going to be talking about in these 3 chapters today is two qualities that are very scarce today. You don't find them a lot, and honestly, there are 2 qualities that make or break people. And they're especially important for young people, much like myself and all of you guys. And those 2 qualities are obedience and patience. These are 2 fundamental qualities in people, especially young people, that are so scarce today, it actually kind of scares people whenever they see it. I was thinking last night trying to put this together, and I was like, man, I don't know how many times, like, I've been, like, just doing something very simple. Like, I can remember my grandma goes to another church, and instead of having volleyball and softball like we do, they have basketball. And, dude, on basketball, there's, like, these 6-foot guys, like, just screaming up and down the court and stuff like that. And we were out there meeting with them one time because a lot of these ladies, we used to go there, so they haven't seen me since I was, like, 3 years old, and this 6-foot guy comes in with like a goatee and stuff, and they're like, oh, you know, we'd like to meet you, you know, we saw you when you were this big. But we go over there to meet him, and we had Riker with us, and Riker was like running around, and my mom was like, hey, go get him. To me, that's not even obedience. Like, that wasn't even like a command, like, go clean your room. That was me just saving Riker's poor little life, because if he were to run out on that court, he would have died. Like, you know, he would have been trampled, and he wouldn't have survived. So I went over, obviously, like, being obedient and just saving his life, and I go over, I'm like, okay, you know, come over here, like, you know, we don't need to do this. And this lady who goes to this church with, like, this mega church, she tells my mom, because my mom told me about this later, and this was a few months ago, and she's like, oh my, like, how did you get him to do that? Like, how did he, and I was like 17 years old. She's like, how did you get him to go after him and, like, and take care of his little brother? And my mom was like, he just went after it. She's like, you know, like almost like she's like expecting me to have like some type of shot caller, you know, like up here or something, like, you know, just to get me to go do it. And it's so, it's scary to them. You know, they're so used to not seeing anybody go out there and be obedient to their parents or anybody. That's one thing in the workforce that I'm pretty sure anybody in here with a job can tell you. If you're just obedient and no matter how ridiculous and crazy the job is and you just go out and do it, then you're a pretty essential member of the team.
Yeah.
And they really want you there. And that's just something that scares them. I know with patients, me and Cody joke about this all the time. We haven't gone in a while, but we used to go hunting a whole lot with Gary. And Gary's got this really old friend. And this dude, like, not spending out some 20-year-old guy. Yeah. No, he's got this old friend, but this guy, like, absolutely loves hunting with me. Like, he'll just invite me and Cody out, just us two, like, to go with him and stuff. And he loves it just because we're so patient. Like, we'll go out there and, like, even if we think it's dumb, whatever we're doing, we just kind of keep our mouth shut and we're like, okay. You know, like, and we just kind of humble ourselves and, you know, don't say anything. And that's something that's not seen a lot today. A lot of kids are very impatient. They get what they want when they want it. And they're very disobedient to parents and stuff like that. So not only are these two great qualities just for an adult or a person, but especially for a younger person. This is something that employers look for and something that, honestly, like teachers really pick up on. I just got out of high school, and you don't really notice how much like teachers really appreciate somebody who's just obedient and very patient in class and what type of a testimony that can leave at school. So just keep that in mind as we go through this, but that's what I'm going to be talking about the most today. And through these three chapters, we're going to look at an event that unfolded with Israel. And in this event, we're going to see how obedience and patience played into it, or the lack thereof. And we're going to see some problems that they kind of got into and what could have been done to avoid this. So the first place that we're going to be in is Joshua 6, and it's going to be Joshua 6, 1 through 17. And I'm not going to read that. If you guys would like to read it on your own, you can. I'm just going to kind of summarize it. But through this, God's pretty much laying out the plan and the rules for overtaking the city of Jericho. I'm pretty sure everybody in here knows what the city of Jericho was and, you know, how that whole thing went down. And the first thing that he tells Israel is that they're supposed to do is that they're supposed to walk around that city one time every day for a week. So pretty much walk around the city seven times in a week, which is a lot of walking. And I got to thinking about it, and I was like, man, you know, walking that much every single day requires quite a bit of diligence. I was talking to... Where's Maddie Kinnicott? There, yeah, in the back. I was talking to her when we were eating, and I was asking her, like, what just, like, a normal, like, cross-country practice is. And she was telling me that, like, a recovery set is, like, 5 or 6 miles. It's like, a recovery? Like, a recovery is, like, laying in bed or having, like, a hot shower or something. That is not recovery at all. If somebody would tell me, AJ, go run 5 miles for a recovery set, I'd be like, no, I'll walk, like, 3 laps. I bet I'm not running that. She was telling me that. I was like, that is ridiculous. And that requires a lot of diligence. And, you know, I kind of got to thinking about it last night when I was, as I was reading this and putting it together. And I thought to myself, well, you know, like, if God told me, he was like, AJ, you know, to get over this obstacle in your life and just go walk around it 7 times. I was like, well, that wouldn't be too bad. Like, I just, like, me, Cody, Jared, and Justin, and Aaron, we all just hang out together and walk around and joke around, you know, each 7 times we walk around, just mess around with each other. It wouldn't be that hard. It's just walking, right? And so, I'm sorry, Chris did it too. And so, I was like, that wouldn't be that hard and stuff. But then, you know, of course, you got to look at your own life and stuff. And I started thinking to myself, well, how many times has that happened just to me in my own life? I really, really wanted something regardless of what it was. And I just kept asking God for it. And I'm like, you know, I just really need this. Like, you know, if I only had this, then I would just really do something for you. And just allow me to get the victory over this one thing in my life. And it's something I've really been struggling with or whatever. And I really need to get the victory over it. And instead of just giving it to me right there, God just says, no, just keep on walking. It's okay. Go ahead, keep on walking around it. One thing that Mark said this morning that I totally, like, blew... Honestly, I was just like, oh, my God. Like, if I got anything out of what he said this morning, it was this. He said, you know, sometimes having a walk with God is not that easy. Sometimes doing what God tells you to do and walking around stuff is not that easy. He's not just going to give it to you right off the bat, and that practices your patience, and it teaches you that stuff. So not only all they had to do was walk around Jericho, they also had to do what verse 10 says, and that's not talk at all. Verse 10 says in chapter 6, it says, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not talk, and ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then ye shout. I was sitting there looking at that. I was like, man, you guys ever played the quiet game? quiet game is very hard. I guarantee you, like, if we tried to do it right now, like, we would easily lose in, like, the first 30 seconds. Cody and Christopher can tell you guys this is true. When we used to take road trips before pretty much everybody in the family could drive and stuff like that, Chris had a rule called rule number one. Rule number one was don't annoy Chris. And the easiest... Huh? Oh, no, not Christopher. No, yeah. Yeah, big Chris. Sorry. And so rule number one was do not annoy Chris. And the easiest way to prevent rule number one from being broken was the quiet game. And boys, when they're on road trips, it's not like... I don't know what girls do on road trips. I assume you guys just, like, have... Like, it's not bitter and it's not angry. Boys are... the other way around, boys are very mean. Like, it's always a team. Like, me and Cody against Christopher, Cody and Christopher against me. And it's, you know, that's always how it goes. And somebody's always, like... It's annoying after a while for the parents, obviously, because all they hear is bickering for, like, 4 hours or something like that. So you just be like, we're playing the quiet game. Everybody be quiet. And then it gets funny. Because Christopher makes a face, and I can't laugh. So then it's harder, because I can't laugh. And so then Cody starts laughing, and then Cody, you know, Cody burps. And then I start laughing even harder, and then Christopher laughs. So it gets difficult. Now, could you imagine doing this for 7 days? Not only are you walking around a city every single day, you're not even allowed to talk to the guy next to you. You just got to be quiet. You just got to keep on walking. And I was looking at this, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm really not sure why God had him do that. I'm not sure if it was just to test their obedience and to test their patience and see if they really wanted Jericho that bad and to see if they really wanted to take that city, if they were just going to be quiet and they were just going to keep on walking. But I do know this. Sometimes God tells you when you need to be quiet about some things. Sometimes it's better for you just to be quiet, keep doing what you're doing, and not say anything. I think about all the times in my life and just with, you know, people around me and, you know, stuff going on the news and stuff like that, how many times somebody gets in trouble because of just what they say. And they can't learn when to be quiet. Another thing that Mark said this morning, sometimes it's just more about what you do. It's more about, you know, what they're doing. They're walking around that city. It wasn't about what they were going to say. It was just about what they were going to do. And so I started thinking about that thing, and I realized how important that is. Sometimes it's better for you just to be quiet and fall back in line and keep walking and doing what God told you to do than for you to blab your mouth and cause more problems for people around you. Not to say that, you know, talking is not a bad thing, but it certainly does... It certainly does trip you up sometimes, and it certainly has in my life. And so then we see in verse 17 that God makes it very clear to the nation of Israel that this city is cursed, and that nothing in there belongs to them. He even says down in verse 19 that everything in there goes into the Lord's treasure, and that he's going to take it. Everything in Jericho belongs to them. And he makes it also clear in verse 18 that if you were to take something, that you're cursing not only yourself, but you're cursing the camp of Israel, and that you're going to cause a problem not only for just you, but you're going to cause a problem for the nation. So we know what happens. They walk around the city 7 times. They're quiet the whole time. They get up every morning and they just don't talk to each other for a week. It must have just been, honestly, you know, I like quiet sometimes, you know, like in class, it's just better when everybody's quiet and sometimes, but it must have been enjoyable, but also hard at sometimes. But they walk around that thing, and then on the 7th day, they blow the trumpets, everybody shouts, and then the walls of Jericho come falling down. And they go into that city and they kill everybody in there except for Rahab, and they let her go because she hid the spies of Israel. And it's a great victory. And at the end of chapter 6, it says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country." And I noticed that too. I was thinking, God really didn't have to put that in there, but he put it in there for a special reason. He put it in there to show you that if you're obedient and you're very patient with what he told you to do, everybody around you is going to know it was from God and that you were his man that he was working through, or woman. And that everybody's going to know. And you're going to be not famous in a prideful sense, but people are going to know. People are going to understand that whatever happened with you and whatever you got the victory through, it was because of God. And it wasn't just you manipulating the circumstances. So all this happens, and it's a great happily ever after, right? There's no point for me to go into chapter 7 and 8. Christopher, do you have your Bible? You do. Read the very first word of chapter 7.
But. Watch your mouth.
Cody, read the very first word of chapter 7.
But.
Jaden, read the very first word of chapter 7.
But.
You didn't even look down. There's a big old but in the beginning of chapter 7. Why is that? Let's go ahead and read it. It says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing." Somebody screwed up back here. They just got a really good victory. They were all patient. They were obedient to what God told them to do back in chapter 6. They had a big win, and somebody just decided to mess it up. The rest of verse 1 reads, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Man, wouldn't you be mad, though? Like, can we really blame God here for being a little upset? I mean, he told Joshua, he said, here, look, let them know they are not allowed to take anything out of there. That's all they have to do. They do not have to take anything out of there, and that you guys are going to get the victory. I've already given you the win. You don't even have to try for it. Just do not take anything out of there, or else you're going to be cursed, and you're going to curse the nation. I know that's how I've been several times. Before Cody got a job, there, I don't know why I figured this was my responsibility, but like for some reason I just thought like cutting the grass is like automatically my responsibility at the house. So like I just took charge of it. But some days I had to go to work, so I was like, Cody, do me a favor, can you just like cut the front yard so I don't have to do it like tomorrow on my day off? And he's like, yeah, I got it. And I get home and somehow the grass is taller, like a foot. And I'm just like, did he glue pieces of old grass on there? So, you know, how did this happen? And it's so frustrating. Like, I get home and I'm just like, I sit in the truck and I'm just like, and I go downstairs. I'm like, well, maybe he's busy. Like, maybe he's working. Maybe he's busy, right? Like, maybe he's down there, like studying his Bible or doing homework. No, Cody's just napping. Like he's got the same clothes on from school, and he's just like got his hood up, and he's just like slumped. Like that's all he's doing. He's just slumped or he's playing a game, and it's so angering because I'm like, dude, I told you. Like, and the front yard is not bad, man. Like the front yard is maybe like, I don't know, like half the aisle over to here. Like it's not bad at all. And I'm just like, dude, like you couldn't even do that. I remember one, like it wasn't Christmas time. A few days before or a few days after, I can't remember. But we didn't have any furniture in our living room for like a year worth of living there. It was just like a boxing like arena. Like it was just people fought there. And Cody and Christopher were mad or fighting about something. And my mom kept telling them, they're like, she's like, stop. Like if you're going to do this, like go outside, go downstairs, go fight in your room. Like stop doing it in the living room because like you're going to break something. They're like, no, we're fine. Right? And so they keep on fighting. And so I don't remember what happened, but Christopher like got angry and he was down and he grabbed Cody by the waist. And he just, like, you know, started doing this whole mess and started dragging him around. And Cody, like, Cody's strong, but, you know, when you grab somebody by their, you know, their center of gravity, like, there's really not much they can do. So Christopher starts, like, just pushing him around. And he pushes Cody, and he pushes him like this, and his butt goes right through the drywall, right? And Cody's, like, hanging in the wall. And my mom heard it. My mom heard it because, you know, the drywall cracked, and then it went from, like, the grunting of, like, boys fighting to just silence. And everybody was just like, oh, no, because we don't know how to fix drywall, right? And we were scared. And so Cody's, like, hanging out of the drywall, like, and, like, doesn't know what to do. Christopher, like, backs up, like, I don't know, like the Hulk, you know, like when he comes out of his, like, transformation mode, he's just like, oh, God, my powers are too much. So Christopher, like, backs up, and my mom's in the kitchen, like, this is the kitchen door, and she, like, walks around, and she's just like, it's a horrified look, like she's just so angry. And I'm standing on the stairs trying not to laugh because I knew, I was like, I didn't have anything to do with this, so I can laugh. Okay. And she just loses it. She's like, I told you not to. I told you just go downstairs. Why are you fighting up here? I don't even know how to fix this. And believe it or not, this doesn't have anything to do to support my point. This is just an amazing like detail. We managed to hide that hole in the wall from Chris for like 3 months until March. I don't know how we did it. We put like a calendar thing in front of it, and he was so like oblivious to that thing. He didn't even know it was there. And then our neighbor came over and fixed it. He never knew. I don't think he knows to this day, to be honest. Oh, he does know? Oh, he did? Okay. Anyway, we hid it from him for quite a while, which was just amazing. Like, we couldn't believe that we were able to pull that off. But my point here is being, God kind of had a reason to be upset. He simply told him, just don't take anything out of there. That's all you need to not do, is just don't take anything. So, meanwhile, Joshua doesn't know this has happened. Joshua's ready to go and get the next city. Joshua ends up in verse 2, he sends some men, he sends some spies up to another city that they need to take out and they need to conquer called Ai. And he sends those guys up there, and they're a little bit cocky of the nation of Israel at this point. They're thinking, well, man, we just dropped down Jericho. And I think Steve was telling us this morning in a prayer group, he heard somewhere that the walls of Jericho, I don't know if this is true or not, I just thought it was a really interesting fact. He heard somewhere that the walls of Jericho were probably somewhere in like 14 feet thick, which is ridiculous. Like I can't even imagine the, like, I don't know, maybe like two of those tables thick. I don't know. But they just took down a city that was pretty famous for being a military fortress, and it was a big deal, and they conquered it. And they did it by how? circling around and being quiet, and then yelling, and then the walls fell down. I mean, that was a pretty big deal. So they're cocky. They're like, oh, well, man, AI's no big deal. Let's go in and get it. So in verse 3, these spies come back to Joshua, and they say this. They say, they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up to smite Ai, and make not all the people labor thither, for they are but a few. So they come back, and they say, hey, look, Joshua, here's the deal. They say, look, we just took out Jericho. People got, you know, their feet are a little sore. I mean, we just walked for like 7 days. People need to, you know, they need to talk. There's a lot built up after 7 days of not talking. So here's what we're going to do. AI is really not that big of a deal. Let's pick like 2,000 or 3,000 people who are really feeling like another fight. Send them up there. AI is small. It's not going to be a big deal. This is not something that the whole nation needs to go and fight. So Joshua says, okay, that sounds good. That's a good call. You know, everybody needs to rest. I mean, that was a hard walk that we had for a week and stuff like that. And so they send them up. And then verse 4 and 5 reads this. It says, So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shevarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So they lose. They send like 3,000 guys up to Ai, this little easy win that they should have had, and they end up losing. And then they kill 36 of their guys and then beat them up a little bit more as they keep running away. And the rest of Israel, it says that their hearts were melted and it was like water. Israel, you know, they're up on this high horse and they're like, well, we just beat Jericho. This isn't a big deal at all. And then they lose to Ai and the entire nation just falls apart. They're like, God, why? Why at all would you, have us get such a victory out of this and then have us lose? Such a simple, easy win. And so Joshua finds out. And Joshua gets pretty upset. And, you know, I imagine that Joshua and the nation of Israel probably felt a lot like the boys' volleyball team when we lost to those girls that first time around. You know, they couldn't eat for the next week, and they couldn't sleep. They were just depressed, and, you know, their whole world was falling apart. But Joshua ends up getting pretty upset about this. And it reads in verse 6, it says, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. And he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? So he says, God, did you bring us over Jordan, have us beat Jericho just so you can have this little group of people just, you know, kick our teeth in and have us lose, and now we're going to die here to this little group of people? What are you doing? You know, he starts questioning God. And he says, would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And I was reading that, and man, that struck me by surprise. You got this guy who just won this huge, awesome victory in his life and for the nation of Israel, much like we win a whole lot of really big victories in our life, no matter what it might be. You have your own that you can think of right now. And what does he do? He's dumb enough to go back and try to be content in his own mind that, well, it would have been better just to stay on the other side of Jordan where we weren't losing 36 guys when we went in to fight. And he totally forgot about the fact that they didn't have one casualty with Jericho, and they got a really good victory out of that thing. Don't ever be dumb enough to think that what you once had is better than where you're at with God now and where God's taken you. Don't ever be dumb enough to think that. That's a dangerous spot to go to and to think. And then verse 8, it says, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? He says, Lord, what am I going to do? Israel's not going to want to fight anymore. We just lost to such a simple, easy win. What are we going to do? How am I going to convince them? And then verse 9 says, and for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And he says, Lord, everybody's going to hear about this, and they're going to come, and they're going to circle us, and they're going to kill us. He said, and they're going to wipe your name out from over the earth. And one thing I thought that was interesting about this is verse 27 of chapter 6. He's worried about his name getting wiped off the earth and God no longer being in existence and the nation of Israel not being anymore and all these nations coming and wiping them out. But 27, it says, so the Lord God was with Joshua and his fame was noised throughout all the country. You don't think any of these other countries were like, oh, no, that can't be real. These guys just took down Jericho. Everybody in the country knew about it. They knew what they had done and what the nation of Israel and Joshua was all about. But he's over here and he's already freaking out. He's jumping to conclusions that, man, these guys are going to wipe us out and that we don't stand a chance now. And I love verse 10. Verse 10, man, this is probably my favorite verse of this whole thing, reading it. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?
I love that verse, man. If you got, do yourself a favor, dog tear, not dog tear, dog ear that that passage right there, or that page. Highlight that thing and, you know, color it in with a Sharpie or something like that. Get that thing down. Memorize that verse. Because, man, the next time that, you know, you're out in life and something comes up, something, you know, rough in your life, and you're just freaking out and you're jumping to conclusions a lot like Joshua was here, and he's thinking that there's no way he's going to get any more victories out of this and that the world's just going to wipe him out. What does God say to him? He's on the ground. He's throwing a fit. He's crying. He says, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" Man, I could totally, like, scratch out Joshua's name and just put my name in there. Next time that I freak out about something really stupid and there's no reason at all to freak out about it, just go back to this thing and read, "And the Lord said unto AJ, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" And you could probably throw your name in there too. That's a good verse, man. God's on your side no matter how crazy this whole thing gets, and no matter what type of little victories you lose that are probably your fault anyways. But God's on your side, so don't ever forget something like that. So what happens? He tells Joshua about what ended up happening. He tells him that Achan goes ahead and he takes something from the city of Jericho. So they get a huge search party. And this is something I also found was a little bit interesting. They start looking for Achan and they find him out of a nation of like 2 or 3 million people. They singled out one guy who screwed up and they were able to find him. One thing that you better get through your head, this book will find you. In any situation, they were able to find this guy in a nation full of people. And let me tell you something, this book will find you on Sunday morning and it will find you on Thursday night. You cannot hide in this group of 200 or 300 people in the church. You cannot hide here. This thing will find you and it'll point you out and it'll say that you're the person that you were the person that was wrong. And that's something that's a little bit scary, man. They were able to single out this one guy who screwed up and figure out who the problem was. This book will single out you and single out your problem and figure out what the problem is. So in verses 18 and 19, Joshua finds out that it's Achan. Verse 18 says, "And he brought his household man by man." What he's doing here is they ended up starting off with the tribes in Israel. Then they went from the tribes in Israel in verse 16 down to the families in Israel of that tribe in verse 17. And then they separate out each individual person in the family in verse 16. And it says, "And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to God, glory to the God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." So he finds him, and he tells Achan, he says, "Hey man, just give it up." And that's something that you should kind of pay attention to a little bit. When this book finds you, because it will, it'll find you, and it'll tell you that you're the problem, and you're going to know that you're the problem. Do one thing for yourself, and do yourself a favor, and hide it not. Like Joshua tells him to do. Don't lie about it. Don't point it off on somebody else or say that it's somebody else's problem or somebody else's issue. Own up to it and know that it's your fault. Because that's probably the best way you can go with it. Because, you know, this book requires you to be obedient unto it and to do certain things in it that it tells you to do. And like I said, it'll find you on Sunday morning and it'll find you on Sunday night if you choose not to be, Thursday night, if you choose not to be obedient to it. So they find him. And then in verse 20 and 21, I'm not going to read it, he fesses up. And he tells them exactly what he took and where he put it in his tent. He doesn't, you know, just say, "Well, I just took some stuff and it's in my tent, you can find it." No. He says, "This is what I did, here's where it's at." He lays it all out on the line, just much like what you should do. And what do? They take him out and they take his family and they take everything he has and they kill him for it. And that sounds a little harsh, honestly. Not a lot of people understand why they did that. Not a lot of people understand why, for such a simple thing like taking something from a city that he wasn't supposed to, that he needs to be killed for that. But, you know, while it cost him his physical life back there, you can cost somebody's spiritual life down here. If you choose to just simply not be obedient to what this book tells you that you're supposed to do. It can cost you your friends' lives at school if you choose just not to be the right testimony that you need to be. If you choose not to be obedient to this book. If you just choose to do your own thing, it can cost some friends' lives. How are they going to know what Christ really is if you don't even show them what it should be, like the book tells you you're supposed to? If you're, you know, an older sibling in a family, or you're a parent, or, you know, a husband or wife in a family, it can cost you your family, possibly. As an older sibling, you know, you kind of have a special little leadership role over your siblings. And that's something that you should pay attention to. It's something that I definitely try to pay attention to a lot.
you have a certain influence over your siblings that your parents just don't have. So it can cost you your family. And last but not least, it can also cost you yourself. It cost Achan his life just because he chose not to do what God told him not to do. So it can cost you a lot. And you know, one thing that we need to realize here, it's not like God was just having a bad day and he decided he was going to kill somebody here. God wouldn't have had to kill Achan and his whole family and everything that he had if he was just obedient and wouldn't have taken something from Jericho. Keep that in mind. This is not God's fault at all. God's just following out what he said was going to happen. He did tell them that they were going to be cursed if they did something like this. Israel was certainly cursed. They lost a battle because of it. 36 guys? Yeah, 36 men lost their lives because of this. So then we move on to Joshua 8. Achan's dead and the nation of Israel is, you know, the curse has been lifted and they're good now. And then Joshua 8:1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai and his people, and his city, and his land." And one thing that is pretty important here that, honestly, I didn't really notice until I was almost done putting this entire devotion or message together. This time, God was the one that said, go up to Ai. It wasn't Joshua jumping the gun this time, saying, oh, we're good to go fight. We just took out Jericho. Let's go take out Ai. This time it was God. He said, okay, now we're good to go. I'm going to guarantee you the king, the people, the land, everything in there. Now you can go up there. Now it's time to go fight. Because he said it was. He didn't do that back in 7-2 when Joshua just decided to call the shots. And the key to that is just wait for God. Be patient. Be patient and wait for him to call the shots and tell you when it's time to move. And if he doesn't tell you to move, just keep on walking. Don't waste your time trying to get ahead of him. Let him take care of it and call the shots. And then next in verse 2 it says, "And thou shalt do unto Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." Before I get to that, I actually just skip something here. Verse 1 also says that everybody in Israel is supposed to go up and fight. Not just 2 or 3,000. You realize that as a Christian, you do not have any days off until you get home. Do you think that soldiers, when they're overseas, that they just take a day off here and then and, you know, it's time to relax and stuff? No, you don't get to rest and you don't get to relax until you get home. And we are certainly not home yet. He said, no. 2 or 3,000 is not good. I don't care how small the battle is. Everybody goes up and fights. Nobody gets a day off. Nobody gets a break. But in verse 2, there's something in there that's pretty interesting. And man, if Achan would have just waited a little while and if he would have been patient, he would have picked up on this. Verse 2 says that they are allowed to take, everybody in the nation of Israel is allowed to share the spoils of the city of Ai. Poor Achan would have actually had his life and probably would have had more than he got from Jericho had he just waited, you know, a few more days for them to go up and attack Ai. And he would have gotten everything he wanted, if not more. Patience is a very key thing. Don't get ahead of God with stuff. And you know, there's some fights in your life that you're not going to get to share the spoils with. You might not see the fruit that gets produced in somebody's life that you had a good testimony with or you ministered to. But eventually you'll find out. Sometimes you don't get to share the spoil, you know, in a personal way with them. You don't get to see them actually get saved. But a little bit of patience would have saved this guy's life. It would have saved Achan's life, and he would have been better off had he been patient. If you have patience in your life also, you're going to save some lives. Not only are you going to keep yourself alive like we already talked about, but Achan's family would have been alive had he been a little bit patient. All the stuff that he had wouldn't have been burned and stoned. His kids and his wife and his entire family would have been alive had he just waited a little bit longer. So in closing here, be obedient to what this book and God tells you to do. We see in verse 27 that they end up obviously beating Ai and God keeps his promise and everybody gets to share the spoils. But be obedient to this book and be obedient to God and what it tells you to do. Don't just blow it off and take it as a joke. Take it from me and a lot of the counselors and other people who have already graduated high school and stuff like that. High school and stuff like that goes by pretty quick. It does. It goes by as fast and sometimes it's hard to keep up with a lot of that stuff. And it's going to test your patience. It will. I mean, you know, it gets frustrating sometimes when you're dealing with that. But just stay strong. Stay strong and do what God told Israel to do. Just keep on walking. Keep on walking and be strong and be obedient to what he said. Mm-hmm. Practice obedience and practice patience with this book. And practice it now while you're young. so that way when you get older, it's more of a habit. It's not something that you have to enforce on yourself. Do it now, so that way it's easier for you later on in life. So that's what I have for you guys today. I don't know if Zach's coming up or if Caleb is. But...
Part I heard was very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. What's next? No, I'm just playing. I'm glad I recorded that so I get to sit down and listen to the rest of it. I like to make some more complete comments on what he was talking about. But the stuff he started off talking about, you know, was just so true. To be honest with you, the thing that I was cracking up about was just when he said, well, maybe Cody's busy. And I was just trying to picture Cody being busy doing something. So I think that's he's just so laid back. I mean, he's like my little brother. Alex is just like, unless he's yelling at kids, he's like so laid back and, you know, calm. Or yelling at you guys, he'll be like that too. So, AJ, thanks again for what you shared with us today. Jared, thank you again for what you shared with us. We had a good time. I guess I'm looking forward to listening to this to hear the completion of it and everything like that. But, we got about 45 minutes of time, so we can either set up something inside of here, play Gaga ball, go outside, do some stuff, or just hang out. You know, there's no if you guys want to do like an organized activity, we can definitely do that, but I just want you guys to enjoy spending time with one another. So with that, with the idea of enjoying spending time with one another, once again, let's not have any more electronics and stuff like that out. We're here to communicate and fellowship with one another. If you just want to take it easy and chat, that's totally cool. But let's utilize this time that we got with each other and not separate ourselves with our little devices. So, good stuff. Well,
do you have any sort of graduation ceremony for
AJ? I know. What should we do? We should, like, that's like, have you ever had a swirly before? All right. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll
Wait, is he going to...
last year as a person, period. Yeah. He's going to devolve into something else. This is the end of AJ as we know him. But, so yeah, now we'll have to figure something out to embarrass him or something like that at camp. We'll figure it out. Just attack him.
He's not supposed to know.
Huh?
He's not supposed to know.
He won't know when we're doing it. You know, yeah, see? So it's all good. Yeah, yeah. He's already starting to blush thinking about it, so it's good. All right. Well, let's pray. Like I said, you guys hang out. We can go outside and do some stuff in here. Just let us know. Or just spend time with one another, just chatting. So, like I said, we got 45 minutes before we're going to jump into cars and head out for the movie. Is anybody in here, do you know that you're not going to the movie and that we need to contact your parents? So, Johnny, so we need to get in touch with Michelle.
She knows. I told her earlier.
Okay, awesome. Anybody else not going here? Kenzie, were you just joking around? I saw your hand go up. Yeah, yeah. You don't want her to be there. All right. Well, awesome. Good deal. Good deal. Jared McClanahan, can you close us out with a word of prayer? We'll be done.
Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for a chance just to just hear your word, Lord. Hear your word through just some the perspective of just some guys that really love you, Lord. And I just thank you so much for the church you've given us, and you know, this is a unique thing that we have here. You know, not many churches can even any of the adults stand up and give any kind of lesson or devotion or anything. And so just the fact that you've blessed us as much down here as you have, given us your word, and just given us men who can lead us well, just thank you for all that. In your name, amen.
Amen.